This is Illinois Public Media. It is the 20th day of June, a Friday morning. We're headed to a high today of 87 degrees, 74 degrees outside our studios here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. A 50% chance of thunderstorms today, partly cloudy this evening, and a low of 67 degrees. In Chicago at this hour, futures are trading lower. The nearby July contract down 13.5 cents in the beans. November down 2.75. Corn futures are a penny higher in the July. And December up 2.75, and July wheat down 4 cents for the day. The soy complex has the rest of the products down $4.80 in the meal. The oil down 14 cents. Livestock futures are off $1.17.5 in the June contract for live cattle. Feeder cattle are about a buck lower for the day, and lean hogs at this hour are up 27.5 cents.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check these numbers and others now with Michael Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Todd.
How are you today?
Hey, doing well, thank you. It's going to be a hot one out here today.
It is going to be a very hot one. Hey, you are out there in beef cattle country, or closer than I am to where a lot of beef cattle are produced. We have many here in the United States and a number in Illinois and Indiana, but the big numbers are out west, and those are the ones that will probably be counted for the cattle on feed report that's due out this afternoon. Have you been taking a quick look at that and what those numbers might mean?
Yeah, I mean, the placements number, I think all eyes are on that, Todd. I think that the expectation will be that the placement numbers are going to be down because the rains have improved the pastures, and it came right at the right time for the stocker feeder guys that have the lightweight feeders who have to decide, you know, in the April, May, early June time period whether they want to dump those into feedlots or keep them and put them on pasture and background them some more. And I think that trend is, since the rain has broken in many parts of the southern plains, that they will continue to start moving cattle back and not into feedlots, and therefore placements should be down. If placements aren't down on today's report, I would think there'd be a pretty negative reaction by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange traders, especially given the whipsaw price action we've seen this week, with some funds coming into the market and some funds coming out, and then the news about the PED virus vaccine giving some more uncertainty about supplies down the road. So a lot's at stake in what should be or normally is a pretty simple report because of where we're at in prices, where we're out in the drought, and with the PED virus out there as well.
Cattle on feed numbers, of course, will be due out at 2 o'clock Central Time. We'll talk with you again during the closing market report about those numbers. Let's take up what's been happening in the grains and the oil seeds for the day at the CME Group in Chicago. Futures in the bean pit have been putting pressure across the grains and oil floor, I think, for the good part of the day.
Yeah, it has. And I think what you're seeing is basis weakening and the meal is struggling. Cash-wise, because the Chinese have come out and said, you know, as of late last week, early this week, we're not going to take U.S. DDGs anymore. And it sounds like in Illinois, in other parts of the Midwest, that you're seeing some substitution, that DDG prices are falling in respect to the meal, and that's opening the door for some feed rationing substitution. And so now we've got July meal moving back towards its lows of March, early March, late February, that 435 to 440 a ton level, about $40 a ton loss here in the last week since that news was put out, Todd. I think you're probably going to find some support at those Feb-March lows, and I say that because weekly soybean stocks, as measured by the USDA every Tuesday, still down 47% year-to-date, and I don't think this news in the change in the meal versus the DDGs changes the medium-term fundamentals. In other words, we still sold a lot of beans in the 15-14 crop year this week, 5 million bushels. And also, I've heard domestic crushers are also reducing hours in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, and therefore the supply of meal. So I think you're probably about through the negative downside thrust. Probably would have been $40 to $50 a ton higher, in my opinion, if China had not stopped these DDGs from coming into their country.
Yeah, so just to be clear, this isn't quite a one-for-one swap because DDGs and bean meal don't substitute completely for each other. DDGs does substitute, I believe, in part for meal. in part for corn. Do we know why it is that China decided not to take DDGs from the U.S.?
No, I mean, part of the reason could be the shadow banking issue, that they're worried about having too much meal and too much beans, just like they have maybe too much copper. The trade perception, you know, you and I have talked about this week via some emails on the PED virus. The sure. trade perception versus the reality is going to be something that we fight now. For a long period of time because the trade set up differently than what it was maybe 10 or 20 years ago. So the trade perception may be that the shadow banking issue in China is causing too much supply to be bought in order to be able to finance other deals and get collateral through those beans and through that meal. And I think the trade has taken that route, and that's probably the best explanation I can give you right now. But on that same front, we have found that the Qingdao port that is the biggest issue here with the shadow banking right now. When they looked at aluminum stocks were actually half of what they had receipts for in one case, and that was reported, I think, by the Financial Times or Reuters. So you're actually seeing less supply in the case for aluminum, not more supply. So I think maybe the trade will catch up with this if that trend continues.
You know, it's something we will have to keep an eye on. Turn your attention to the corn. Futures are up just 2 cents into the July, December 3.75 higher. It wasn't too long ago that we were thinking, oh, this thing could really slip lower. But it's paused at the moment. I don't know whether that's just waiting for weather, whether that's waiting for the end of the month. Do you have an indicator?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the nose, Todd. You've paused. I think you stopped the bleeding of the El Nino sell-off because El Nino's actually caught the Northwest Corn Belt by surprise and caught the traders by surprise. And so now when we have corn conditions good to excellent at 20-year highs and bean good to excellent conditions at all-time highs as of Monday, traders are pausing now and saying maybe that's the best we're going to get because we have had too much of a good thing. We've got a state of emergency in 35 counties in Minnesota. The last week's rains in northwest Iowa have been 5 to 8 inches. Another 3 to 5 could be coming Sunday. And I think most importantly, you're seeing the hard red wheat and the soft red wheat help the corn market out again, and that goes back to hard red wheat, Kansas yields coming in 5 to 30 bushels, 30 to 40 bushels less on the top end than I think the trade expected because of crop conditions being similar to last year. And so I think you've got a few things out there that are helping along with, the, you know, ethanol demand has been very good. We had a record weekly production this week. These things I think help stop the bleeding from the El Nino sell-off. But we're not out of the woods because we have the acreage and stocks report, and I think that's how I'm kind of looking at it.
Yeah, the EIA numbers, of course, telling us that there was a record week, highest week since December of 2011, in terms of production of ethanol, and the spread tells us that ethanol can go into the marketplace and into the export market, I suppose, is where a lot of it may be going. It's $1.06, that spread between the RBOB and the ethanol. That's really wide. That's as wide as we've tracked so far.
It is, and I think this is where the Iraqi, you know, malaise or possible disintegration and the effect on the energy prices is starting to take hold and take root in the corn market and some of the other markets. Bean oil obviously has had that help it immensely this last week, and that has in turn weakened the spread in the meal and the bean oil. So you've got a lot of inner workings as you always do, but I think net-net, the trade is looking at better demand for domestic corn, better demand for bean exports, and you've got less supply possibly in hard red wheat and a questionable supply in terms of the quality of soft red wheat that's maybe making the market pause here and reevaluate some of their short positions.
We'll talk with you again this afternoon and dissect this marketplace one more time.
Very well, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this Friday morning to take a look at the marketplace in Chicago, Illinois.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, it is the top of the hour. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Find us online at will.illinois.edu. Our ag programming at WILLAG.org. The outside markets trading like this, the RBOB gasoline at $3.12 and a tenth. That is down 0.4 cents. Ethanol futures at 206, a penny and 0.4 cents higher. The spread is $1.06 and a tenth of a cent wide for the day. And diesel fuel at $3.05, just about 0.1 cents higher as well.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.